Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel reading, Matthew 8, 1 to 13. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would deepen and strengthen our faith in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. So today we have these two miracles of Jesus in our text, the cleansing of the leper and then the healing of the centurion's servant. One of the big themes in this text is that of faith. We know as Christians we are people of faith, that we live by faith, not by sight. And so if we want to know how to grow in faith, to find encouragement in our own lives of faith, this is a great text to consider because Jesus is amazed by the faith he finds here. Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. So let's consider today a few things about the faith we find in the figures in this text. First, we'll look at the character of faith presented here, then the focus of faith, then a warning about losing faith, and finally, the outcome of faith. First is the character of faith, which is presented to us here as something which is both humble and bold. Did you notice this in the text? So first is the humility of faith. The leper comes, and what does he do? He kneels down before Jesus. Now, that's probably a bit weak, actually. The word there is more to prostrate oneself before another. So you're probably supposed to picture the leper actually face down, flat out on the ground before Jesus. And how about the centurion? Where do we see his humility? Well, we hear it in his words, don't we? Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. And in both of their requests of Jesus, we see humility as well. The leper says, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. There's no demanding here, no presuming on Jesus. And the centurion, he doesn't actually make a request at all if you read closely. He simply says, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed in terrible distress. That's where he leaves it. He simply brings the situation to Jesus, and that's it. There's a humility to this faith. But then at the very same time, there is a boldness to their faith, isn't there? They are humble, but that doesn't mean they aren't confident and even daring in their approach. After all, lepers weren't supposed to come near anyone. They're supposed to stand off at a distance saying, unclean, unclean. And yet this leper comes right up to Jesus, boldly requesting help. And for the centurion too. He is a Gentile person, so it's possibly quite unlikely that he would have been coming up to Jesus in ordinary circumstances either. So while humble, there is a directness, there is a boldness to this faith as well. And this character, as humble yet bold, it's something we can learn from. On the one hand, faith doesn't make us conceited and arrogant. Faith doesn't come with an attitude that we are so great and God is just lucky to have us. We don't begin our prayers by saying, right, God, today I need this, this, and this from you. Faith is humble. Faith comes before God acknowledging our weakness. Faith comes acknowledging its need. Faith comes acknowledging its sinfulness, our sinfulness. And yet, faith is bold. So while we come humbly, that doesn't mean that we can't be courageous in what we ask from God, what we expect from God. Luther says that the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, teaches us this. Teaches us that God wants us to know with all boldness and confidence that we may ask him as a dear child asks their dear father. Kids can be pretty bold and direct, right? Probably a bit too much most of the time for my liking. And yet that's the model of faith for us. Humility and boldness. Next is the focus of faith. What's the focus of faith? Now, hopefully straight away you say, well, this one's easy. I know this one. It's got to be Jesus, right? And that's a good answer. The focus of faith is always Jesus Christ. But there's something a bit more specific in this text, which is that the focus of faith is Jesus' word. You especially hear this in the case of the centurion, don't you? I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And our centurion friend then, he fleshes this out for us a bit. He says, for I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this. And the slave does it. Now, what's the point of our centurion's little illustration here? Well, he's a military man, right? And he knows that words used with the right authority have power. They make things happen. Words used with authority can do things. We can think about this even in our everyday lives. So when a judge says, I find the defendant not guilty, those words do something. They bring about a new situation. And when a celebrant says, I now pronounce you husband and wife, those words do something. They bring about a new situation. And when a wife says to her husband, oh, look at that, the rubbish bin is full. Those words are designed to do something. To bring about a new situation, right? That's not just information. And the centurion knows this in his own life. As a man in a chain of command, his words make things happen. He says, go and they go, come and they come. And his point is, if he, a mere man with limited authority, can make things happen with his words, how much more you, Jesus? With all authority in heaven and on earth, only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. The focus of faith is the word of Jesus. Now, I can't help but think of our worship service when I reflect on this theme. Because one way to understand our worship service is to think about it as a whole series of us doing things with words of Jesus. Doing things with words among us. The technical names for these sorts of things are speech acts or performative words. It just means Jesus is among us making things happen with his speaking. Worship is not just about information. You can go and learn all sorts of things about the Christian faith from reading books, but worship is about God's word being enacted among us. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, so that when the word spoken by Jesus through his servant says, I forgive you all your sins, that happens. And we cling to that word in faith. And when Jesus speaks through his servant saying, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, things happen. That word is active among us. And when you hear that blessing at the end of the service, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and bring you peace, things happen. Real spiritual blessing is brought into your lives because as Jesus speaks, it's active. We trust in his word. So there was the character of faith. Then there's the focus of faith. Next is a warning about losing faith. And this arises as Jesus is talking about his great amazement at this faith that he has found nowhere in Israel. The reason he's amazed by this is because, as we said earlier, the centurion is a Gentile. He's not a Jewish person. He's not from among the people of Israel who have the covenant and the promises and the blessings. And Jesus finds this great faith in a foreigner. He found this great faith in an unclean leper too. And for Jesus then, this surprise of faith serves as a warning to God's people, surprisingly enough. It's a warning against complacency. It's a caution that the people he is speaking to do not neglect their own life of faith because they think that their own ethnic, religious heritage will be enough for participating in the kingdom of heaven. This is how Jesus puts it. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the Gentiles from the east and the west. While the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a strong warning from our gracious Lord Jesus. And it's meant especially for those who are heirs of the kingdom. That's us. And we get this, don't we? We can understand where Jesus is coming from. We know the temptation. We all know that there are adult converts to the faith. There are people who return to Christianity who do seem to have this quite vibrant faith and reliance on Jesus for everything. Whereas at the same time, often those who are born and bred in the church can be tempted to fall into complacency, to take it all for granted. And then faith can grow weak, then people can drift away. And this can lead, Jesus says, to this tragic situation that the heirs of the kingdom are thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The point for us is very simple. Let us never take for granted the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. The character of faith, the focus of faith, the warning about losing faith, and finally, the outcome of faith. Jesus says to the leper, "Be made clean." And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus says to the centurion, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that very hour. Cleansing, healing, life. This is the outcome of faith for the leper and the centurion and for you. Not because faith is some special virtue or work of their own, but because faith receives what God gives. But how can Jesus bring all this about? Well, because the one who gives life is going to his death. Do you remember that no one was really meant to come into contact with a leper? Because when you come into contact with a leper or anything unclean, it makes you unclean. So how can Jesus do this? How can Jesus touch this man? Well, just a little bit later in this chapter, Matthew interprets for us what has been happening with a prophecy from Isaiah. He says this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. And as he takes them up, all of the uncleanness, all of the sinfulness of the world into his body, it takes him to the cross where he bears those things for you and where he rises again to new life. Do you know the next time we meet a centurion in Matthew's gospel? Guess what? It's at the cross. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." The lepers and all those who were unclean were cut off from the people of God, excluded from God's gracious presence But Jesus dies outside the city gate for us, so that all who are sinful and unclean can be welcomed by God. The outcome of faith for you is life, but not just for you, but for others as well. And I just want to finish today briefly on this thought. This is what we talked about with the kids. It's worth considering in this text, what do we know about the centurion's servant's faith? We just don't know anything about it. And yet he is healed. And according to Jesus, he is healed because of the faith of the centurion, because of the faith of another. What great encouragement this is in how we can use our faith on behalf of others. You all have friends and family who do not trust in Jesus Christ or who have drifted from faith. People you would love to be here with you this very day, but who are not. You all know people in various trials and difficulties in life who perhaps do not have the faith to call out to Jesus as their Savior. Well, you can use your faith for them, just like the centurion. Practically speaking, you can pray for them. And we have this tremendous text which shows that Jesus hears and acts for other people as we exercise our faith in praying for them. Some people have the lovely custom that week by week, as they come to the Lord's table to receive the healing touch of Jesus in his body and blood, they have the names of those people on their lips. They bring them to Jesus, and they trust in him to act. So that's the amazing faith of the leper and the centurion. There was the character of it as both humble and bold. There was the focus of it, Jesus and his performative word. There was the warning against complacency, and there's the outcome of new life in Christ for us and for others. May God grant this same faith to us in Jesus' name. Amen.